Welcome to Zichru Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechus Shabbos Daf Samech Tes. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, there's Machlokas HaMarayim regarding what qualifies as a shogeg to be liable al chatas according to the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that one is considered a shogeg if he was unaware that the punishment was karis, even though he acted bemazid. Rish Lakish holds that one is only considered a shogeg if he was unaware that the act was prohibited and had the penalty of karis. Point number two, there's some halachos and marayim regarding what one does if he's walking on the way or in the desert and doesn't know which day Shabbos is. So Rav Huna said that he counts 6 days and observes the seventh day as Shabbos. He holds that a person should count like the creation of the world in which there were 6 days before Shabbos. Chiya Bar Rav said he first observes one day as Shabbos and then counts 6 days as weekdays. He holds that a person should count like Adam, just as Adam was created on Friday and the next day was Shabbos, so too the person should count the next day as Shabbos, followed by 6 weekdays. Chiya Bar Rav's opinion, though, is refuted. And point number three, Rav states two halachas were in the case when someone traveling doesn't know which day Shabbos is. So the first halach is the person can only work on the 6 days to provide enough sustenance to stay alive. Now the Gemara asks how the person is supposed to survive on Shabbos with no food, and revised the halach that he can also work on Shabbos and distinguish the day from the others via Kiddush and Havdalah. And halacha number two is if the person remembers how many days ago he left, but doesn't remember what day of the week it was, he can perform malacha on that entire day. He cannot assume, though, he did not travel on Erev Shabbos, giving him 2 days to do malacha, since sometimes a caravan is available and people will depart Erev Shabbos. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, there's a malchokas and a rhyme regarding what qualifies as a shogeg to be liable al chatas according to the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that one is considered a shogeg if he was unaware that the punishment was koras, even though he acted bemazid. Reish Lakish holds that one is only considered a shogeg if he was unaware that the act was prohibited and had the penalty of karis. Point number two, there's malchokas amarayim regarding what one does if he's walking the way or in the desert and doesn't know which day is Shabbos. So Rav Huna said he counts 6 days and observes the seventh day as Shabbos. He holds that a person should count like the creation of the world in which there were 6 days before Shabbos. And Chiya Bar Rav said he first observes one day as Shabbos and then counts 6 days as weekdays. He holds the person should count like Adam, just as Adam was created on Friday and the next day was Shabbos, so too the person should count the next day as Shabbos, followed by 6 weekdays, where Chiya Bar Rav's opinion is refuted. And point number three, Rav states two halachas regarding the case when someone traveling doesn't know which day is Shabbos. The first halach is the person can only work on the 6 days to provide enough sustenance to stay alive. The Gemara asks how the person is supposed to survive on Shabbos, no food, and revised halacha that he can also work on Shabbos and distinguish the day from the others via Kiddush and Havdalah. And halacha number two, if the person remembers how many days ago he left, but doesn't remember what day of the week it was, he can perform malacha on that entire day. He cannot assume, though, that he didn't travel on Erev Shabbos, giving him 2 days to do malacha, since sometimes a caravan is available and a person will depart on Friday, Erev Shabbos. All right, so now we go to a siman, and in the Choose a Siman contest, a lot of great suggestions. There are a lot of seats, there are a lot of sets, different types of sets and seats. But this case, we're going to go with soot, chimney soot, suggested by Mordechai Golombek from Basaig. Thank you, Mordechai, for chimney soot as our siman for Samech Tes. And in general, for this stuff, I want to mention that I do strive to do the simanim in order of the sugyas, but sometimes it's a little bit challenging for me. So in this case, it was challenging for me. So here goes. The chimney sweep covered in soot got lost in the desert and didn't know which day was Shabbos. So he counted 6 days, made Kiddush and Havdalah, and hoped the Rabbanan would consider him a shogeg. So once again, in slow motion. The chimney sweep covered in soot. Chimney sweep covered in soot. Soot, that means we're on Daf Samech Tes. The chimney sweep covered in soot got lost in the desert and didn't know which day was Shabbos. So he counted 6 days, which reminds us that there's a malchokas on a rhyme regarding what one does if he's walking the way or in the desert and doesn't know which day is Shabbos. Rav Huna said he counts 6 days and observes the seventh day as Shabbos. He holds that a person should count like the creation of the world in which there were 6 days before Shabbos. Chiya Bar Rav said he first observes one day as Shabbos and then counts 6 days as weekdays. He holds a person should count like Adam, just as Adam was created on Friday and next day was Shabbos, so too the person should count the next day as Shabbos, followed by 6 weekdays. And Chiya Bar Rav's opinion is refuted. So the chimney sweep covered in soot got lost in the desert and didn't know which day was Shabbos. So he counted 6 days and made Kiddush and Havdalah, which reminds us, Rav states, two halachas regarding the case when someone traveling does not know which day is Shabbos. The person can only work on the 6 days to provide enough sustenance to stay alive. Now the Gemara asks how a person is supposed to survive on Shabbos with no food, and revise the halacha that he can also work on Shabbos and distinguish the day from the others via Kiddush and Havdalah. The second halacha is that the person remembers how many days ago he left, but doesn't remember what day of the week it was, he can perform malacha on that entire day. He cannot assume, though, he didn't travel on Erev Shabbos, giving him 2 days to do malacha, since sometimes a caravan is available and a person will depart on a Friday. So the chimney sweep covered in soot got lost in the desert and didn't know which day was Shabbos. So he counted 6 days, made Kiddush and Havdalah, and hoped the Rabbanan would consider him a shogeg. Which reminds us of the first point we mentioned, which is there's a machlokes Amoraim regarding what qualifies as a shogeg to be liable a chatos according to the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that one is considered a shogeg if he was unaware that the punishment was coerced, even though he acted bemazid. Reish Lakish holds that one is only considered a shogeg if he was unaware that the act was prohibited, and also unaware that it had the penalty of koras. So once again, the chimney sweep covered in soot got lost in the desert and didn't know which day was Shabbos. So he counted 6 days, made Kiddush and Havdalah, and hoped the Rabbanan would consider him a shogeg. All right, now it's time for a four blah ba chazara. Daf Samache, so the simon for Samache is se, sheep. So here it goes. The flock of sheep, sheep, that means we're on Daf Samache. The flock of sheep with gold teeth and flasks of balsam to cover their smell, which reminds us that Abaye identified three tanaim who held that a person will not come to show an item and inadvertently carry if the item causes one embarrassment. Rebbe permits a woman to go out with a gold tooth, since she will not show it to others out of embarrassment. Rebbe Ezer permits a woman to go out with a kovelas and a b'slochish of palyaton, spice bundles, and a flask of balsam, since showing them to others would reveal that she has body odor. Rishim and Elazar permits a woman to go out with anything that's worn beneath her hat, for fear she'll feel shame if her hair is exposed. So the flock of sheep with gold teeth and a flask of balsam to cover their smell like to swim in the flowing waters of the Euphrates and Nisan, which reminds us, one of the three practices Shmuel's father did regarding his daughters was to build mikvahs for them during Nisan, instead of letting them immerse in the Euphrates, because he held the increase coming from the flowing rainwater from Eretz Yisrael would be the majority of water and nullify the river water, since flowing rainwater does not purify. Rainwater only purifies when it's stationary. Shmuel disagreed with this ruling, since he held a river primarily increases from its own springs. Therefore, there is no concern of the majority of the water coming from flowing rainwater. So the flock of sheep with gold teeth and flasks of balsam to cover their smell like to swim in the flowing waters of the Euphrates and Nisan, led by their shepherd, who used nuts as buttons. Which reminds us, Abaye asked what the law is regarding whether a woman can do a rama, a use a clever loophole, and fasten her cloak with a nut to take it out for her son to play in within her shusa rabim on Shabbos, based on a later mission regarding using loopholes to save clothing from a fire. So does the Tanu holds one can use the loophole of wearing many items at once to save clothing from a fire permit it, or perhaps it's only the case of a fire that he permits the loophole because the person will otherwise might come to extinguish the fire? Or does the Tanu who holds one cannot use the loophole of wearing many garments in the case of the fire, prohibit using the nut and the cloak as well? Or perhaps, since donning many articles of clothing is an acceptable method of transport, he prohibits the loophole so people will not come to carry, but using the nut as a button is unusual, and therefore it's permitted. The Gemara leaves it as a teku. Daf Samach Vav. So the simple Samach Vav is sewing, and we have a tailor. A tailor is sewing. So here goes. The amputee tailor. Tailor, that means we're on Daf Samach Vav. The amputee tailor with a wooden shoe full of rags, which reminds us, the mission state regarding a wooden shoe worn by amputees, Imyesho base kibo kasisin tame, if it has a receptacle for rags for him to put his leg on top of, then it can be makabel tuma. There's a machlokas amarayim if it's makabel tumas midras, a tuma acquired by an object used with the intention to support one's weight, whether through sitting, lying, standing, or leaning. Tuma is only transmitted this way from someone who became tame as a result of a bodily emission, such as a zav or a nida. Abaye holds that it's not makabel tumas midras, since its primary purpose is to disguise the fact that the person is missing a foot, not to support his weight. He brings a proof from a braisa that states that a walking stick is not makabel tuma, even though it's sometimes used to support one's weight. Rava holds that the wooden shoe is makabel tumas midras, even though its primary purpose is not to support one's weight. He brings a proof from a child's wagon that can be makabel tumas midras, even though it's only used occasionally to bear the child's weight. So the amputee tailor with a wooden shoe full of rags tied his one shoe strap on his son's left arm, which reminds us the Mishnah on Amud Bey states, Habanim Yotzim Beksharim. Young boys may go out on Shabbos with knots. The Gemara explains that these knots are the ones that Avin Bar Huma spoke about in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria. He said that to comfort a son who yearns after his father who is parting from him, the father should take a strap from his own right shoe and tie it around the boy's left arm. The Gemara adds that it would be dangerous and potentially plunge the son into melancholy if the father were to do the opposite and take the strap from his left shoe and tie it around his son's right arm. So the amputee tailor with a wooden shoe full of rags tied his one shoe strap on his son's left arm and told him to recite incantations in his mother's name while he was away. Which reminds us, Abai shares a few rules his adopted mother taught him about incantations. All incantations are recited with the name of the person's mother. Any incantations that are clearly stated to be repeated a set number of times should be repeated according to that number. And any incantation that's not stated about how many times it should be repeated 41 times. Daf Samach Zayin. So the symbol of Samach Zayin is sizzling. We think of a barbecue. So here goes. The simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments when he sizzled meat on the barbecue. Sizzling meat on a barbecue, that means we're on Daf Samach Zayin. The simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments, which reminds us the Gemara wants to know who the Tana is of the Mishnah. On Daf Samach Vav and Beis, who state that even commoners may wear ornate bells typically worn by the elite and is not concerned that they may take them off and carry them due to the rights of commons from others or remove them to show them off to a friend. Rav Oshi has said that it's Rabbi Shimon who states in a later Mishnah, Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim hem, all Jews are like princes. And Rashi explains that even a poor Jew feels comfortable wearing princely adornments and will not be fazed by derisive comments nor take them off to show a friend. Rava said that the Mishnah is referring to a case where the bells were sewn into the garments and therefore even concurs with the opinion of the Rabbanan, who do not hold that all Jews are considered like princes. So the simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments when he sizzled meat on the barbecue, wearing a fox tooth around his neck to improve his memory, which reminds us, the Mishnah introduces a machlokas regarding going out on Shabbos with various talismans worn for healing, such as locust eggs, a fox tooth, and a nail from a gallows that was used. Rav Meir permits them if they're worn for healing. Chachamim prohibit using them even during the week because of Darkei Mori. Rashi explains that they are magic and one would be transgressing who do not follow their customs, referring to the Kananim. Abaya and Rava rule in accordance with Rabbi Meir that any practice that has healing benefits is not prohibited, even if it is an Amorite practice. So the simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments when he sizzled meat on the barbecue, wearing a fox tooth around his neck to improve his memory and stop him from being Mechal Shabbos numerous times, b'shogeg. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the 7th parak, Kol Gadol, identifies how many chatas offerings one would bring for multiple transgressions on Shabbos done b'shogeg, inadvertently. If one were completely unaware of the concept of Shabbos, he would bring one chatas for all the malachis he ever performed. If one knew about Shabbos but lost track of which day was Shabbos and did many malachas on each of the subsequent Shabbosim, he brings one chatas for each Shabbos. If one knew about Shabbos and which day was Shabbos and inadvertently did many malachas on many Shabbosim, he's liable to bring a chatas for every malacha he performed. And if one performs many toldos of one of malacha, he's only liable for one chatas. Daf Samaches. So the simon for Samaches is schach. So here goes. The massive sukkah with the giant schach. Schach, that means we're on Daf Samaches. The massive sukkah with the giant schach, a nickname Kol Gadol, which reminds us. The Gemara asks why the Tana of the Mishnah introduces the laws he mentions with the word Kol Gadol. This is a major rule. After suggesting two reasons which are rejected based on the use of Kol Gadol in the laws of Shviz and Maestras, the Gemara concludes that Kol Gadol is used when the application of the prohibition in one area is broader than others. So Shabbos law is broader than Shviz because it applies to detached and attached produce, where Shviz only applies to attached produce. Shviz is broader than Maestras since it applies to both human and animal food, whereas Maestras only applies to human food. And Maestras is broader than Peah laws because it also applies to figs and vegetables, whereas Peah does not. So the massive sukkah with the giant schach, nicknamed Kol Gadol, was packed with joyous tinuk shenishbos and gerim, which reminds us that there's a machlokes amoraim regarding the rule pertaining to a tinuk shenishba ben anachrim, a child captured and raised amongst Gentiles, as well as ger shenisgayer ben anachrim, a Gentile converted and lived among the Gentiles, who never were aware of the concept of Shabbos. Rav and Shmuel hold that they're like one who recognizes Shabbos and eventually forgot it, and they're therefore liable to bring a single chatas for all their chilul Shabbos. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish hold that they're exempt from having to bring a chatas. Rashi explains that Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish hold that Omer Mutter Anusu, one who mistakenly believes that something prohibited is permissible, is not responsible for his actions. Therefore, in these cases, in which they never learned about Shabbos, they're considered an anus, not a shogeg, and therefore they don't bring a chatas. So the massive sukkah with the giant schach, nicknamed Kol Gadol, was packed with joyous tinuk shenishbos and gerim, who just heard they're exempt from bringing any chatas according to a Tana called Munbaz. Which reminds us, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish based their opinion on Munbaz, a Tana, who stated in a braisa that a tinuk shenishba and a ger who converted and lived among the Gentiles are exempt from bringing a chatas for any chilul Shabbos. Munbaz learned a hekesh between one who does an act b'shoigeg and one who does an act b'mezid from the juxtaposition of the pasuk Torah achas yihil lechem o'oseh b'shkaga, there shall be a single law for you, for one who acts with inadvertence, to the pasuk asher tasim b'yad rama, but a person shall act high-handedly. He learns from this that, just as one who transgresses intentionally had knowledge of the transgression, so too the inadvertent transgressor, who is required to bring a chatas, had knowledge of the prohibition. Hence, both the tinik shenishba and the ger, who had no prior knowledge of the prohibition, are exempt from bringing a chatas. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes number 1. Which daf do we learn that a person can wear a gold tooth out on Shabbos because he won't take it out because of embarrassment? That's on daf Samache. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn the din of a tinok shen nishba regarding bringing a chatas for being machal Shabbos? That's on daf Samaches. Great. Number 3. Which daf do we learn the Rabban's definition, or Machokas regarding the Rabban's definition of a shogeg? That's on daf Samach Tes. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have the Machokas regarding if Mar's ayin applies afil b'chadri chadarim? That's on daf Samach Tor. Great. Number 5. Which daf do we have a Machokas if there's tumas midras for an amputee's wooden shoe? That's on daf Samach Vav. Great. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that women do not wear signet rings? That's on daf Samach. Great. Number 7. Which daf with Malkokas regarding what one does if he's lost in the desert and forgets which day Shabbos is? That's on daf Samach Tes. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have a discussion whether a practice which is Darche Mori is permitted if there's a healing effect? That's on daf Samach Zayin. Great. Number 9, which daf do we discuss why the Tani used the phrase Klal Gadol? That's on daf Samach Ches. Good. And finally, number 10, which daf do we learn the 3 things that cause poverty? That's on daf Samach Beis. Great. Now going to 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf do we learn there was a consideration to include the Parsha of Balak in Kriyashma? That's on daf Yud Beis. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn what the brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, and Tainus correspond to? That's on daf Chaf Tes. Good. And finally, number 3, which daf do we learn when to bow during Shemoneh Esrei? That's on daf Lamedal. Great. That concludes our pop quiz and the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.